Joining us, he's a Hall of Famer, and that is Paul Hagan, a wonderful, wonderful guest on our show, a great writer. Last year, inducted into the writer's wing of the Hall of Fame in Cooperstown, New York, now writing for MLB.com. Paul, great to see you in spring training.
Hey, great to be here, Marty.
What a thrill, and I didn't have a chance to have you on last year about the Hall of Fame. Just take us through a little bit. What a weekend, and just making the speech and being inducted with the greats of the game.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I've been to a lot of induction weekends, but this was the first one I didn't have to work, so that was a lot of fun. And, you know, honestly, I think the biggest thrill was just seeing how happy my family was. They got a bigger kick out of it, I think, than I did. And, you know, your family is who really makes the sacrifices when you're gone all the time. So it was, all in all, it was just a tremendous, tremendous weekend.
Oh, nice. Well-deserved for Paul Hagan. You know, it's funny, before we came on, of course, I associate you with the Phillies. And I said, well, first spring training, probably Clearwater. But no, you go back to Vero Beach, San Bernardino. Your first spring training was covering the Dodgers.
Yeah, I covered the Dodgers for the San Bernardino Sun for 3 years and got to go to spring training in 75 because they'd been to the World Series the year before. And, of course, being a smaller newspaper back in those days, I had to come back with a week's worth of stories in addition to the week's worth that I wrote while I was there. Then for 10 years, I covered the Texas Rangers in Pompano Beach, Florida. And then in 87, went to Philadelphia and have been going to Clearwater ever since.
Boy, very nice. I've been in Pompano Beach. I love spring training down there. I used to sit in the bullpen with Gaylord Perry, mm-hmm. and it was so easy. You just sit down in the bullpen. That's the way spring training used to be. Paul Hagan with us from MLB.com. Paul, what is the lure of spring training? As we say, you go back now, God, almost 40 years of coming to spring training. We've seen the beautiful stadiums and the excitement of it. How do you explain this?
Well, I think there's a couple things. I think one is, you know, it's the old hope springs eternal cliche that, you know, every team has a chance at the start of spring training, or at least thinks they might. And I think, plus, it's just more relaxed. The games don't count. Now, spring training has gotten to be a big business in the time since I've been covering baseball. I can remember back in the early days, you know, PR guys going down on the beach and giving tickets away for free. You know, $2 a ticket, free parking, that sort of thing. And that's certainly changed. The ballparks have gotten a lot nicer. In Pompano Beach, I can't believe that a major league team trained in that facility. But, it's still the reawakening. And I think particularly in the Northeast, where you've been through a lot of times a long, cold, dark, gray winter, spring training is sun and baseball coming back, and it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. Paul Hagan with us, MLB.com. It's seeing that byline of the name and the cut line, as they say, of the city where it's coming from, and just if you're sitting up there in 40 degrees or 30 degrees and comes from Clearwater, Florida, and talking about baseball, that's the way it was for me back east when I was there. Paul, you wrote for Philadelphia fans for so long. Is there a tougher fan base for baseball than Philadelphia?
I think that Philadelphia fans in general, not just in baseball, get a little bit of a bad rap. I think that what you have to understand about Philadelphia fans is they're extreme both ways. So when you're winning and doing well, they're going to be extreme in that direction. Now, when you're not winning and doing well, they're going to be extreme in the other direction. But I think that's what the late John Vukovich, the Phillies coach, always used to tell players, there's no greater place to win than Philadelphia.
Well, I remember reading back the old Philadelphia A's days, and they had a leather lung fan, Pete Adelis, who used to sit up there in Connie Mack Stadium. Boy, he would get on the visitors, and he never let them go. Connie Mack used to take him on the road. And that's the Philadelphia fan that I remember. Paul, you spent a lot of time in Florida, and you can give us a little idea of maybe what you saw club-wise, anything jump out at you as we come to the end of the spring training. Any clubs that say, wow, looking good, or maybe struggling a little bit?
Well, I mean, the Phillies were struggling a lot, but one thing I've learned is that you don't overanalyze spring training too much, especially with a veteran team. Now, I do think you can see if a player is injured. That's obviously something to pay attention to, but you know, guys who hit 400 in spring training or guys who hit 100 in spring training. It's been my experience that more often than not, that really doesn't matter one way or the other when the regular season starts.
All right. Well, you have worked a lot for MLB.com, as we say, Paul Hagan, and you've been covering this replay story, and you're a veteran baseball man, a Hall of Famer. What do you think about what's coming here for this coming season with replay?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting. I'm not sure that it's going to be as intrusive as people think, because I'm not sure there are going to be as many reviews as people think. Major League Baseball has statistics that show that there's only one impactful play that goes against a team once every five or six games. So if that's the case, I don't think that... You know, I think people who think that every game is going to be stopped four or five times for a review are going to be surprised that it's not like that. I also think that now in spring training the reviews were running a little long, but it's an entirely different system that's going to be used once the season starts. All the reviews are going to go through New York. The umpires who are working out of New York are going to have the best angles, the best equipment, high def, zoom, slow-mo. They're going to have everything they need to make good calls. The goal, I believe, is to get it down to about a minute. And honestly, I mean, that's shorter. If you're thinking about pace of game, that's shorter than an argument is. Now, it doesn't have the entertainment value that an argument has. But I think overall, I think it's going to go pretty well. But I would also point out that John Schierholz, who's head of the committee, along with Tony La Russa, and Joe Torre, who put this together, has been very clear from the start. And he said, look, this is going to be a three-year process. We know there's going to be bugs. We know there's going to be things we need to iron out. We hope at the end of 3 years to have it right. So are there going to be some bugs in the beginning? Of course there are.
Well, I'm going to miss Ron Luciano and Billy Martin, or Earl Weaver and Ron Luciano turning the hat around. But as you point out, one challenge for the manager, if he gets it correct, he gets to keep it. I thought it had to be used up by the sixth inning, but he will keep it for the whole game. If he doesn't have one left, he can request the umpires to look after the seventh inning.
Yes, and I think the umpires are going to be a lot more amenable to reviewing plays if an umpire doesn't have a challenge and it's after the sixth inning, because the last thing an umpire wants is to say, no, I'm not going to look at it, and then be proven that he made a mistake later. So I think people who think that umpires are going to be stubborn and digging their heels and not want to look at reviews, I think that's wrong, too.
Well, it's going to be fun. Great to talk to Paul Hagan. Always a pleasure. We always get him on the phone. It's nice to see you here at the ballpark. Eddie Montague should be a Hall of Famer like yourself, and he will be someday. Was talking about the home plate collision rule. And Eddie said, remember one word, deviate. As long as you sort of stay on the path to the plate, you'll be okay.
Yeah, I think the key thing here is that they just didn't want runners who were out by 20 or 30 feet to barrel into catchers and risk hurting not just the catchers but hurt themselves. And I think that makes some sense. You know, it's funny. The rule reads that the catcher cannot block the plate without the ball, but that rule's already on the books, if I'm not mistaken. So I think it's going to be a judgment call for umpires. It's interestingly also a judgment call that is reviewable. So I think that's going to be interesting. I think that's going to take some getting used to. And I think, you know, when you have something that is going to be so much judgment, did the catcher give the runner a lane? You know, did the runner deviate? Did the runner deviate because he was coming into the plate and the catcher moved? So I think there's going to be a lot of interesting situations with that, but it'll be fun to watch, and again, it'll give the fans something to look for.
Yeah, boy, I think that's the one area that's going to take a little time to figure out, because there's so much, as you said, to look at. Thinking about baseball and the history of the game, and we talk about this, I guess it is a game that does change.
Yeah, I can't ever, in all my years of covering baseball, though, remember an off season where so many legislative things have come in that can change the game, and then we also have the whole thing with protective caps for pitchers, which didn't really get the traction this off season, but I think in the future we'll hear more and more about that. So there's been a lot of off the field stuff going on in baseball that really does dramatically impact the game the way it's played on the field.
Yeah. All right, that's baseball 2014. You heard it from the Hall of Famer, and that is Paul Hagan. Paul, thanks so much for being on the show.
My pleasure, Marty.
All right. More coming up on KMBR 680, the sports leader.